Very much appreciate the faithfulness of those folks that have gone through all the years. We have a good group of people here in the church that are involved in it, and we appreciate that opportunity. I want to talk to you this morning about God's gift of fellowship. I'm not talking about having friends. All you have to do to have friends, the scripture says, is show yourself friendly. It's a lot higher than just having friends, though that helps. But there are four major areas that have to be working properly in any church in order for that church to be healthy and productive. And as we know, first of all, that first area is prayer and worship. Thank God that's functioning here. And then the ministry of the word has to be rich and anointed. And then there must be fellowship that's of the biblical kind and outreach. And you can, if you have all of these things and you're missing one, then the church is out of balance and it's not going to be well and productive as God intended for it to be. And I talked to us last week about worship, and we made some commitments based on the revelation and understanding of worship that God gave to us. And I want to thank you that so many of you honored that commitment, which was to be in church, on time. We ask a lot of people, but you don't have to be on the church. And I'm sorry that something tripped me up at the last minute today. It can happen to anybody. On the other hand, if we project that God is worthy of our reverencing that time, it's amazing most of the time we're going to be able to do it. Is that right or what? And thank you for doing that this morning. I'm going to encourage you to let it be a new day in this area. Don't let the enemy cause you to backslide. I think it's very important. I believe God will honor it. It's possible to have outstanding music in our church and yet not have worship. And in that message, I talked about Jesus' explanation of worship. The Father is seeking really those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father desires to have people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And today I want us to get a biblical understanding of fellowship. Some people think all fellowship is two fellows in a ship going in the same direction. And that helps too. It helps to get in the same ship. It helps to go in the right direction. But that's not the end of it. The same as with worship, we've had ideas about fellowship that are not biblical. You know, a fellowship hall is where you haul the people in and try to be friendly to each other. Just as some people think worship is music that entertains or pleases, we also might have the idea that fellowship is having relationships in church, especially with people we like. That's not fellowship. Now, that's friendship. Church style. But biblical fellowship is on a much higher level. It is a fellowship that builds the church and meets spiritual as well as personal needs. Did you know that people can meet your spiritual needs? God has a plan for that to happen. And I want to return to a scripture that I'd referred to before, but when I quoted it recently, it seemed that it seemed new to some of you. And then I realized that it was 5 years ago that I preached that message. And I want us to gain an understanding of how the scripture is to be walked out in the living of our lives. Now that scripture was out of Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. It says this: "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The sacrifice of praise. "The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." There are all kinds of Old Testament sacrifice, if we would study the sacrifice and all that's involved in that. But in the New Testament, there are only three. Because the New Testament is a revelation of the heart of God. The Old Testament was a shadow. And certain things we did were types and shadows of what God really wanted, which was us. There are three New Testament sacrifices right here included in these verses. First, the sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice doesn't have to be difficult and hard. It's just something you give up or you surrender up. And then there's the sacrifice for others. Verse 16 says, to do good for others and to and don't forget to communicate or be in touch with each other. And the sacrifice of fellowship. That's included in verse 15 and 16. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice for others in the body of Christ, or that is the sacrifice of meeting other people's needs and being involved with them. And then there's the sacrifice of having real fellowship. To communicate is the Greek word koinonia. And it means to really be interrelated and have interpersonal relationships with each other. You know, the days of fellowshipping the back of people's heads is over. And people really do want to have real relationships and need them. The Amplified Bible says it like this: do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needs of the church as an embodiment and proof of fellowship. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So this says, give what you have, distribute things, be generous with people, be kind. Don't forget this and don't neglect it. And this is sacrificing for others and fellowship. It requires inconvenience sometimes and a giving beyond the norm. I just said to John this morning, I was looking in the bulletin, I said, I like the way it's Monica, you do the food pantry, right? I said, I like the way Monica has this set up. She's creative about what people who need something to eat might want to eat. That would be a little different from peanut butter and jelly and macaroni. And I believe that every time we stretch ourselves to think about how we can help people and how we can build them up and how we can meet their needs, that we're doing the sacrifice of distribution and communication that God wants. He requires us to stretch ourselves for each other. This is the difference between Christian love and what the world calls love. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, 14, rather, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. This means get involved with each other. Well, that man over there, he does this, and that person over there, you know, I just don't think she's got a full load of brick. I don't think her elevator goes all the way up. Really? You haven't heard people say things like that? The Bible says get involved with the person who's looking for another load of brick. And comfort the feeble-minded. Don't be hateful to people that don't get it just because you're so smart. 1 Corinthians 12:22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You're kidding. Imagine those people that are not quite up to what you are being necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. I'm reading the Bible. Yeah. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. I mean, if you're super, nobody needs to build you up. Come on, you can handle it. People been building you up all your life. This is church now. Let's reach down and build the ones up that nobody ever cared about. Amen. That's a little bit what he's saying here. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Sometimes I know people think, and I've even had it said to me, that they don't really understand why God would use me instead of them. They don't understand why God would use somebody else instead of them. Sometimes I think he wants to use an uncomely part. Maybe you're so comely, he's just going to really. I sometimes think he gifts people as a way of setting them in a place where they can finally be appreciated. Amen. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Oh, I love everybody. I just, some of them I don't like very much. It's easy to get lost with a few friends that comes from having the same, but having the same care for the whole body is different than just having a few friends. It's also easy to have our time consumed just with our families or extended families, so there's no time or energy for the body. Andrew Murray says we must be careful not to have a selfish home spirit, but bring your whole family into loving the body of Christ. This admonition is to love one another, not just a few. And sometimes we respond to people according to whether they are attractive to us, whether we want to talk to them, whether we like that kind of people. I mean, I know by comments that I've picked up, some people are just put off. Some people don't like people with strong personalities because theirs is weaker and they've been scared all their lives. And some people don't like people with weak personalities because they say there's really nothing to them. You know, can't get them in any conversation, blah, blah, blah. I think the Bible says that we need to like people with all kinds of personalities. Think about it. Think about that now. There was this lady, when I was in Spartanburg a while back, to a conference, and I was sitting outside a CVS store, and I saw this lady just sort of walking around. She was wearing a visor, and she just wandering around looking kind of lonely. And I'm just sitting in the car waiting for Joan to get some things, and I just smiled at her. And but I could tell by the way she was walking, she didn't feel well. And I said, not feeling so good today. She came over to the car window and started talking to me 20 minutes later. Still talking. And so when she found out that we were talking about parasites and that she found out that I had gotten one ministering in another country, then she burst into tears. Now here's this woman that's just a woman in pain, wearing a visor, looking miserable, just plodding around out there. And I might would have thought, I don't think I've got anything to say to this lady. You'd be surprised how much you have to say to everybody. Just try it. And I ended up praying for her. We just had a great time together. And I want to think about this. Before I opened myself to that woman, did I ask myself the question, do I like her? Is she my kind of person? Is this going to be fun talking to her? Will it be inconvenient? Because Joan might come out and we'll be ready to go. And we've got to go to the next place and do nothing. Take a chance. Give some of your life away to somebody else. I want to talk to you a minute about relationships, because if there's going to be biblical fellowship, the scripture says it has to be built on biblical relationships. God's word teaches us how to have relationships so that true fellowship can be built. Our relationships that we had before we became followers of Jesus were based on the culture and the mentality of the world around us. It was perfectly acceptable in our world culture to get angry with people, to hold grudges, to seek revenge, to reject people we didn't especially like, or to have something about them that caused us to hold them in disdain. Oh my goodness. He wears that. His hair is this way. He's with those people. Over in Southwest Virginia, they used to have this very small little town, and they used to have a pastime called going in their cars and sitting on the street. It was really jumping. Maybe it was before TV. That's quite possible. I can remember going with some of them one time. These are adults I'm talking. Went with them one time to go sit on the street. And here's what it was about. Hey, see that woman over there? Yeah, her husband left her. Well, no wonder. I was wondering how long it could last. That's what the whole thing was about. Now, every now and then, something positive was said. Occasionally. Well, there's that woman that bakes those good pies. But they're not as good as ours. But they're pretty good pies. When did people not just like us become our whipping boys? I think that there's a certain amount of hostility and anger and pent-up frustration in people that sometimes they just take out on people that just don't suit them. Not our kind of people. 1 John 3:14 and 15 says, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. I'm reading the New Living. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Hello. The Lord spoke to me one time that I hated someone. Oh, no, Lord, I'm just disgusted with them. They aggravate me and they frustrate me. They get in the way of things that I need. No, you hate that person. And then he brought me to this scripture. How would you like for God to call you a murderer? Right there in the worship place where everybody was pouring their hearts out to Jesus. I'll tell you in a little bit how I was able to get the love that I didn't have for that person. Not loving our brother is to abide in death. He even tells us that to hate our brothers is murder, in the same way that lusting after a woman, though you don't commit adultery with her, is committing adultery in your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Just as we've been tutored by life and the culture around us, how to think and act, haven't we? The same way the world does, just act that way. Now we have to be taught the biblical way of thinking and acting toward others and develop a new or renewed mind, which you're studying about now in your groups. Remember that loving our neighbor as ourselves is a law. The only law that Jesus added is to love one another. He said, and if you do this, you fulfill all the rest of the law. Love never divided any church. Remember this. His word specifically tells us to be kind and tenderhearted to one another. Now, how tenderhearted is it if we say, well, I tell you, I expected him to do that. Just as tender as sandpaper, isn't it? You know what? My Bible really tells me we can't even think or speak that way about our brothers and sisters. I had the most wonderful dream last night. I was so mad when I woke up. I wanted to keep on dreaming it. It was about 1:30 or 2 o'clock when I woke up, and I still felt the atmosphere of the dream. And I felt I was right here at the altar, just worshiping and worshiping, and the presence of the Lord was so special, and some of us were here, but the others didn't know about it. And I guess the Lord's drawn a good bead on Pam Shipstone, because Pam was there. Said Pam was just coming in. She found out about it. And I said, we need to tell the ladies in the kitchen and the other people that God's here. And so somebody ran out to tell the others because we wanted them to join in this wonderful experience with us. You know, I want people to have wonderful experiences. I don't want them to have difficult experiences. I want people, when they come to church, I want them to be blessed. I want the love of God to just overflow them. I want the worship to lead them right into the very presence of God. And that was the most wonderful experience. In my dream last night, the atmosphere was still there when I woke up. This is the will of God for us. The Lord gave me a revelation about walking in the light. In 1 John 1, 6 and 7, it says, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that is, as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The only way you can have biblical fellowship is to walk in the light with your brothers, with your sisters, and with God. When you walk in the light, that means in the truth. That means being honest. That means being above board. And if there's a problem or a difficulty or whatever, it's going in and getting it made right. Now, it's not going to tell the person how wrong they are. But it's going to work things out if they need to be worked out. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so I remember this story that Mel Tari told. You know, from that book, Like a Mighty Wind? They had been in tremendous revival. And they got to a certain place. They came to a certain church. And nothing happened. There was no move of the Spirit. People didn't respond. And then Mel remembered that there was something between him and his brother that he had not made right. So he went to his brother and he asked his forgiveness and made it right. And they went back in the meeting and the presence of God was there again. Now listen, that's no news to us. We found this out in our revival in 1980. If there was anything going on that someone needed to make right or whatever, that we would not have the move of the Spirit like we had had the day before until that was made right. The point is this. It's a lot more than just keeping things pleasant among ourselves. It's the power of turning the light on so that God will be welcome. Because He only lives in light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If you want the presence of God, keep everything light. I mean, turn the light on. Don't keep everything fun all the time. But come to the place of light. When I've ministered in churches where I've been asked to teach on revival, this is the first principle I teach. True fellowship can only come through walking in the light. And making a place for God can only happen as our fellowship is clearly established between us. And the next thing I teach is how to bring your relationship to the place where you are walking in the light with each other. Everyone. Does that sound far out to you that everybody would walk in the light with each other? Well, Don, are you and I walking in the light? You think we are? Cecil, are you and I walking in the light? Jan, are we walking? I don't think there's anybody here that I could ask, are we walking in the light? You're going to say yes, because if we're not walking in the light, I'm going to get on it. And you should take that responsibility too. It's not that hard to walk in the light. It's about keeping short accounts. Keeping things the way that they should be. He promises to us if we will do that, if we will walk in the light, that we'll not only have fellowship with each other, but the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you want to walk clean? It's the most wonderful thing in the world to be clean in God. So it's a dual promise. Fellowship with one another and the blood of Christ cleanses us. And when this happens, then God can come and work among us. His word says that He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. We've got to find a place to walk in the light. so that we can have his glorious presence. Because that's what we had last night in my dream. I just felt like the Lord was saying, you go, girl. I want there to be light so I can come and presence myself among you. And I just felt like we had a wonderful presence this morning in our worship. It also says that the one who dwells in love dwells in God. Now think about that. Oh, I'm dwelling in love as a few people get on my nerves. I don't want to have much to do with them, but no, it's not love. I decided to spare you today and not read a new version out of 1 Corinthians 13. Because I did that at Sandra Kennedy's church, and you ought to hear the shrieking and the ouching and the owing and the, you know. Does not even notice a wrong done against it is one of the ones that always gets people. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of mind. Well, I'm going to. And sometimes we even remember it. Not only do we notice, we hang on to it. Don't hang on to it. If anybody's done something, hopefully you've tried your best to make it right. And when you get it to the best level as you can, just forget it. Hang it up. Charge it to dust and let the rain settle it. And this is the prescription for revival, which is the presence of God with us working mightily. We can never have revival until we choose to walk in the light with each other. On one level, he gives us peace among ourselves. And on another level, it creates an atmosphere in which God is pleased to dwell. So then this question, how am I going to get this love? Now, the point is, God has given us the gift of fellowship. And he wants us to stay in fellowship with each other. He wants fellowship to be a decision that we make. There's no such thing as a Christian hermit. I think even the pole sitters and all those fanatics that we've read about in church history, I don't think that was a good Christian occupation. Go away by themselves somewhere, and somehow they're supposed to do so much good away from everybody. I didn't see Jesus doing any of that business. He was always with people. God would never ask us to do anything he doesn't make provision for. He's made provision for us to receive his love. No matter how loving at some point, no matter how loving we feel we are, and we may be loving to some point, but at a point, we will face the situation where our love runs out. He has never asked us to do this in our own power, but he has asked us to embrace his principle with great conviction. And this is how I got the love I needed when the Lord showed me that I had hatred for someone. Romans 5, 4 and 5, he says, the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. You know, I thought the song set today was just wonderful, because there wasn't a song in there that was like, I want to worship you because of me. Don't you see how wonderful it would be? And there was none of that kind of stuff. It was all about him, which is what worship is about. I really like worship songs about him. Oh, it was so good. And one of those songs was, Thank You, O My Father, for giving us your Son and giving the Holy Spirit until the work is done. I mean, you can just be objectively thankful if you want to be. It was a good plan that God had. But I'm subjectively thankful. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost. Yes. Because he said to me that day, okay, here's how you're going to get love for that person. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given to you. Ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. And he will bring with that fresh infilling a fresh love in your heart that you don't have. And he did broke my heart over the unlove that was there. With the Holy Spirit comes his love. He's the love bringer. The Holy Spirit is the love bringer. So get full of the Holy Ghost again. If you find yourself not loving somebody, I know a friend of mine in the ministry had such a terrible time with a person in his church that hurt him so bad, and he threw himself on the floor and cried out, "Oh God, don't let me hate him. Don't let me hate him." Why? Because when somebody treats you awful, it's not easy. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. And if you're waiting for God to make them repent, you better have a lot of sandwiches packed up. I have never seen God twist anybody's arm and make them repent to me. Never. Now, sometimes people do repent to me, but big part of the time it comes so long I can't even remember what they're talking about. You got to forget the other side. That's God's. And so when you forgive the person, you put them in God's hands. What can I do to commit myself to this law of love? I taught you about the law of love. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said this is one of the reasons that he hadn't been sick for 53 years. One day he just died. Didn't have to bother getting a whole bunch of sickness and going through a long, drawn-out time of being ill and being disabled. But he had a special work that was done in his heart. And I shared with you that how that the Lord showed me out of Kenneth Hagin's teaching, the law of love. There were 4 points, and I'm going to give you those 4 points again. How I can commit myself to the law of love. And I want to ask, by the way, I meant to say this at the beginning of my message. I have a birthday coming up real soon, and my mother used to always say to me, and I never had an answer, and she'd say, "Hey, honey, what do you want for your birthday?" What do you say, you know? And I'm going to tell you today what I want for my birthday. It won't cost anybody any money. Say, everybody say, "That's good." Here's what I want for my birthday, and nothing more. I want you to really hear today's message. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you embrace it and walk in it. Right? That's all I want for my birthday. That'd be a great blessing to me, because it will just help oil the wheels of what we want to do in the church. And get the thing done that God's called us to. Okay, what can I do to commit myself to the law of love? Number one, stay free from bitterness. Now, bitterness is resentment gone to seed, or grudge. And it's when you've let that thing stay in there so long. And the scripture says a root of bitterness can spring up and defile many. So you might think it won't bother anybody but you, but that is never true. So how can I stay free from bitterness? I can tell you, because I've had to get myself delivered from a tendency toward bitterness because of something that was so difficult that I experienced. And by the way, you know bitterness when you think of that person, if you feel hard toward them in your heart. If you don't feel love, if you don't wish the best for them, if you want to gnash your teeth when they succeed, why don't you just look at those people and say, "They got blessed. I knew they would, because I prayed for God to bless them." The real key to this is to bless those that you have a tendency to be bitter about. Just bless, because God will bless them anyway, and it puts you on God's side. Number two, bless and release those who have hurt you. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to pray for you before we leave today, that anybody that has been hurt, whether you think they've made it right or whether you've really talked about it to where you're satisfied or not, make up your mind you're going to release them. Maybe it will get better at some point, and then your relationship will be on a higher level. But you can love them whether your relationship's on a good high level or not. You can choose to love them and want the best for them. I find myself, I've trained myself, that when I'm told what some people do, that maybe those people have hurt me, maybe there's been a time where there's been something that I think, how in the world can God keep blessing that person? But when I hear something good that's happened to that person, I've trained myself to say this, I'm glad about that. Even if I don't feel it. You say, well, is that being honest? It's being biblical. That's better than being honest. Some people are honest with themselves, not God's word. It is biblical to say kind and good things to people and about people. Bless and release those that hurt you. Number three, don't allow any particle of animosity in your heart. Animosity just means a sort of a rankling that goes on. You know, it's just sort of that, and the thing is Heidi that did it so well. It's just sort of that. That's animosity. That's that thing goes, drop it. Don't allow it in your heart. I'm telling you, take it from me. I've been through this. I've walked this road. I've been delivered of these things. It'll help you more than it ever helps them. Get free. Get free. Set yourself free. Don't allow any particle of animosity. Get right, Hagin says, get right at it if you discover it in your heart. Instead of, well, I just feel this way and I don't know if I can. No, you have to. You have to for your own good. You have to for the sake of the body of Christ. You know what? One man said it this way, you know, agreement is something that we choose to do for the good of everyone involved in the journey. It's so that we'll get to our goal. It's not because we like everything, not because we like everything that everybody does. Well, I don't like when she sings. I don't like, I've even heard this, something this dumb. I don't like the way he holds his microphone. It looks like he's eating an ice cream cone. And I said, well, he'll find out that it's not as good as ice cream. Just leave him alone. People are nuts. We're nuts. How are you supposed to hold a microphone? Where's the microphone police? Let's get them. No, I'm not going there. I'll get in the far side. Number four. Number four, purpose to walk in the law of love. Is that your purpose? Do you want to really love people or you just want things your way? Do you really want to show people love or just want to feel good? And sometimes it's not easy to show people love. Before I speak to my brother, I ask the question, will this help him or will it hurt him? Now, come on. This is a question we can ask. I've had a time or two people try to help me criticize John. I won't join. I'm just a little bit of throwing off. But people of that temperament type, they I said, well, yeah, but if you want to have somebody that's really great to live with, you don't even think about those things. Plus, I didn't agree with it anyway. Plus, wasn't even worth thinking about. Hello. Some people are so into every little gritty, grainy thing. I think they were born with magnifying glasses in their judgments. Ask yourself this question. Do I have a loving purpose? And why am I saying what I am about to say? Either to or about my brother. Do I have a loving purpose? And why am I saying this? Now, some people think if you preface it by saying, bless his heart. I want you to take an opportunity to bless his life and leave his heart alone. You know, if you really have a problem. Now, let me just say this with one caveat here. If you really have a problem that you need to work through, come to a pastor and share about the problem. And they say we have seven, but I can only come up with six. I thought the seventh one could be Jesus, and I'm happy with that. Come to a pastor and share about the problem so that it can be dealt with in a loving way. You can get a different perspective on it. And by the way, if somebody's beating your head in, we're not going to pretend they're not. We're going to try to help you walk through that situation. And to do it in such a way that it can be resolved. You know, the only reason for confrontation is restoration. It's never so... So you can give him a piece of your mind, which you can't spare anyway. Come on now, keep laughing. We're doing good and we're almost finished. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us fellowship? I heard people in the prayer meeting the other day, they were telling about how excited they were about the groups they're in. Some of them are cooking together before they have their meeting and the different things that different ones were doing. And I've encouraged people that are in groups, talk them up, tell other people how much you like it. And so that people can get in a group, because if we will do this, we can have real fellowship, because we can get to know a group of people. Then we can know what's wrong or what your need is. If there's sickness, for example, or if there's difficulty in your life, that way people don't slip through the cracks and nobody even knows what's going on or what the problem is. It's sort of, you have a responsibility too to make us aware of what your needs are. Scripture says, if any man's sick, let him call for the elders. Don't just say, you know, I was sick and nobody even checked on me. It's really, the Bible says it goes the other way. But you know what? I like it because people do ask us. And we have a couple of the Watts who've dedicated themselves to going and praying for people who have needs like this. Isn't that wonderful? So it's not an imposition, it's a ministry that they have. That's all a part of the fellowship where we walk together in love. So, everybody ready? Can I pray for you? Would you stand together? And I want to ask if you would do something. I'm just going to ask you to step forward just so I can see. Let's just have one little 5-minute prayer time right here, and then you can go.
Honey, before you pray, could I give a testimony?
Sure, honey.
This message today talks about love and all this. I wanted to tell you about two situations that I've seen